We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Tefilas Arvis, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Gimel. V'ze Bechinas Rosh Hashanah. Rav Nosson Zal says now, everything we spoke about till now is tied into the topic of Rosh Hashanah. Ki Rosh Hashanah hu yoim hadin hagodol v'hanoira. Because Rosh Hashanah is the great, awesome day of judgment. And that's what we spoke about earlier. We spoke about when a person is being attacked or surrounded by Midas Hadin. V'oz mitoikev Hadin shemesoirer, azay tzrichem levatel atzmoy legamri, bebchin anal. And because of the fact that on Rosh Hashanah there's a major hisgabrus of din, a Jew must employ this advice that Rabbeinu Zal gave, this advice of bitul. How does he do it? A person has to nullify himself completely. Ad sheyovoi letachlis habitul, until the person achieves a very high level of bitul, lihiyois nichlal be'ein soif, to reach up to the infinite light of Hashem, a very high level. We mentioned yesterday the term the crown of Hashem, that kind of level. Ule histakel al hatachlis, and to be looking at Olam Haba, looking at the future world where it's all good, that place of all good and all one. Shalidei zeh nizbatlin kol hadinim kanal. When a person does that, by doing that, he nullifies, he wipes out all din, because he goes to a place where there is no din. There's only goodness, and there's no left side, there's only oneness and goodness. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas hashena v'hadurmita hamuva bekavonas Rosh Hashanah." With this, we'll be able to understand something that a term that the Arizal uses about Rosh Hashanah. The word shana in Hebrew means year. The word shena in Hebrew means sleep. The Arizal says that each and every single year, the Yetzirah introduces he comes with a new suitcase. Magic show, tricks, every kind of trick in the world to put people to sleep for another year. Meaning, to get people involved, to get their attention diverted by all kinds of tchotchkes, all kinds of toys. One year it's cell phones, one year it's DVD, one year it's movie, one year it's radio. Every year he's got a new plan of what he's going to keep the world occupied with, so that their attention is not on their future, on their real future, on Olam Haba, Gan Eden, Gehenna. Not that. They're involved in all kinds of other things. And then the person wakes up next, wow, the year went by so quick. What do I have to show for the year? What did I do this year? I made money, lost money. I ate and I went to the bathroom. What? That's life? That's living? That's not living. That's existing, maybe. You can't call that living. Living means if I feel I grew, I advanced, I came closer to Hashem. I prepared for my trip, my real trip, my eternal trip, my long-term trip. So the Arizal uses the term Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Hashena, the beginning of sleep, like a new sleep. Now, the Arizal says, he uses this terminology, that there's a shena and a durmita. Durmita means in Aramaic, a deep sleep. The apil durmita al zeranpin. The Arizal says, in his Kabbalistic terms, that on Rosh Hashanah, kaviyochel Hashem imposes a sleep on a certain level of kedusha called zeranpin, a certain level. Ayin Shom, look at the writings of the Arizal on Rosh Hashanah, where he elaborates on this. But Rav Nosson Zal says, "Haynu bechinas bitul hanal." This fits in perfectly with what we're talking about, because we said yesterday that sleep is a form of bitul. Sleep is closing your eyes and leaving this world to a degree. The Gemara describes sleep as 1/60th of death. So a person's taking a major step out of this world when they go to sleep. Kishena hu bechinas bitul shemesalek umevatel daitoi v'nichlal bahatachlis shubechinas almadosi. Sleep is an example of this bitul, where a person shuts down the brain, they shut down the thinking process, and they plug into that ultimate place, Olam Haba, shehu bechinas oir hoein soif, which is also an aspect of this infinite light of Hashem. The person's neshama The Zohar Kodesh says, when a person goes to sleep, the neshama leaves. That's why we make a bracha, Hamachzir neshama islev gora meisim. We make a bracha every morning, Hashem who returns souls to corpses. A person is a certain percentage dead, and the soul leaves, it goes up to heaven, and it's judged every single night. There's a judgment that takes place. V'shom, kishezoichen lehikol el shom, ulehistakel ala tach leshukulay toiv, and when a person is zoiche, to plug into that high place and to look at the ultimate goal, the ultimate future, which is all good, that's the world of all goodness. On Shabbos, we say, Horachmon hu yanchileinu yoim shekulay toiv. Hashem should have pity on us, and He should give us the privilege of arriving at the day which is all good. Shabbos is referred to as a taste of Olam Haba. It's a taste of that feeling that there's no problems, no worries, no bills, no weekday cheshbonos. You know, I'm totally removed from that. Al yidei zeh nizbatlin kol hadinim vayisurim kanal. So when a person does this, he shuts down, he closes down all judgments and all suffering. When he elevates himself to that place of all goodness. This is one of the things that a Jew must do on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of judgment. It's a day when there's major judgment coming at you, and a Jew, in order to defend himself and to save himself, has to be able to have this bitul, this closing of the eyes, and this elevating himself, transporting himself out of this physical world into that place of kulay toiv. This is the concept of the blowing of the shofar, which is one of the most important mitzvahs on Rosh Hashanah. Because when a Jew is zeiche to nullify himself and to take himself up to that place where it's all good because of the severe judgment that's going on down below, we mentioned earlier, it's impossible to remain up there. A person can't stay up there. Ki is batel b'metzias, because he'll blow himself out completely. He'll die, chas v'shalom. U'behechrech sheyia habitul b'b'chinas rotzi v'shoiv kanal. Therefore, this beetle must be in the form of going up and coming back down. U'keshechoizer mi'habitul, and when the person returns from this state of bitul, azai roitzim hadinim lezgaber yoiser kanal, then the midas hadin wants to really get him. Oh, you thought you got away. Now we're going to get you. That's their response. Vazai mekararin umevatlim hadinim al yedei hatoira shemamshichem me'oir hazricha shel habitul al yedei horashimo shenishar me'habitul. And the way that a person suppresses that din, that judgment, that suffering is with the Torah that he brings back from that light of the beetle, which we said that even though the beetle leaves him, even though that high leaves him, there's still some residue. We gave the example of the oil in the bottle. When a person has a bottle full of olive oil and they spill out the bottle and they turn it right side up again, you see there's still some oil left in the bottle. From that remainder, which is called the reshimu, the mark that that beetle left on the person, if he's zoiche to have some Torah with it, that Torah coming from that place of beetle is able to suppress and subdue the midas hadin. And that gives the person the ability to nullify, to destroy the midas hadin, even after he came back from the beetle, through the Torah that he brings back with him. As all of this is explained very well in chapter 65 in Likutei Moran. But now Rav Nosson Zal is going to take all of that and tie it into Rosh Hashanah and the mitzvah of shofar. He's going to show us how that ties into it. This is related to the mitzvah of shofar. Ki shofar hu bechinas kabolas ha-toyrah shenitna b'koil shofar. When a Jew hears the shofar being blown on Rosh Hashanah, what's he supposed to be thinking? One of the things he's supposed to be thinking is, I'm standing at Har Sinai. and I'm hearing the sound of the shofar. The shofar heralded Matan Torah. At the time that Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews, it says, Vayhi koil ha-shofar hoilech v'chozek. There was a super loud blasting of the shofar at that time. So on Rosh Hashanah, there is also a Kabbalah Satoira. On Rosh Hashanah, when the Arizal says Hashem imposes this sleep, because there's a Hisgabrus of Din, there's major Din, and when there's major Din, if a Jew tries to take on that Din head on, he can get smashed. So Hashem imposes this sleep. This sleep, the Jew bounces up. He goes up out of this world, out of the Din. He plugs into Olam Haba, that place of Bitul into the Oirein Soif. And when the shofar is being blown, it's like turning on the switch of what took place on Har Sinai, on Shavuos. There's a flow, it's turning on a faucet of Torah. When the person hears the sounds of the shofar, spiritually, there's a flow of Torah that's being sent. Just like when Hashem gave the Torah on Har Sinai. When the shofar was blown, there was a flow of Torah. V'chein mazkirin kabbalah satoyer b'Rosh Hashanah b'berchas shofros. And if you look in your Shmon Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, the Musaf Shmon Esrei, it's divided into three sections. Malchias, Zichroinos, and Shofros. In the Shofros section, you'll see there's a long paragraph there that speaks about what took place on Har Sinai. That says, Ato negleso banan kvoidecho, you Hashem revealed yourself to the Jews in your cloud of glory on Mount Sinai, and you gave us the Torah. What's going on here? I thought we were in middle of Rosh Hashanah. Why are we talking about Shavuos? We're in Rosh Hashanah. The answer is because one of the major events on Rosh Hashanah is Matan Torah. How do we do it? The shofar. When we blast the shofar, we're activating the light of Shavuos, the light of Matan Torah. We're bringing that into our lives. Ki al yedei koil shofar ma'oirin b'chinas koyach kabbalas ha-Torah. When a Jew is zoicha to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, he's activating the power of kabbalas ha-Torah. Dahainu b'chinas hamshochas ha-Torah shemamshichim me'oir hazricha v'asnoitzitzu shroshim shalbitul. This refers to that Torah that we spoke about earlier, that when a person goes up to that place of kulay toiv, if he just goes up and comes down, he's not strong enough to defend himself when that Midas Adin comes at him again when he comes back down. But if when he was up there, he grabs some Torah and he brings that down with him, the Torah, the Gemara says all over the place that the Torah is a shield. It's Magenes Umatzelis. It's an incredible protective shield. And when we're talking about Torah that you got from the 90th floor, from up there, we're talking about a super shield. This is what gives the person the strength and the ability to nullify that din, to suppress the din, even when he comes back down from that bitul. V'alkein mevur basforim she'ikar hamtokas hadin b'Rosh Hashanah Kualidei mitzvahs koil shofar. And this is why it's brought throughout all the Sifrei Kabbalah, that even though there's many types of hamtokas adin taking place on Rosh Hashanah, the main hamtokas adin is the blowing of the shofar. The most effective thing for sweetening the judgments and eliminating the harshness is the blowing of the shofar. Ki ikar hamtokas adin hu ha-hamtoko shemamtikin oisam al-yidei ha-Torah shemamshich me-Rashimon al-beis shechazer me-Abitul. Because Rabbein Azal had explained in Likutei Moran that the main hamtoko, even though when that person jumps all the way up there, you know, he gets a tremendous light, that's a temporary high. And he comes soaring right back down, and they're coming at him again even stronger. So Rabbein Azal said, the main hamtoka is, if he brought back down with him Torah, with that Torah now, he has the ability to put the Midas Adin in its place permanently. So Rabbein Azal tells us, that's what's happening on Rosh Hashanah when the shofar is being blown. Ki af al pi shebishas habitul el hatachlis. Nizbatlim hadinim shom legamri. Because even though when that person went up to the 90th floor, we said up there, there was no din. It was clear skies. No midas hadin at all. Still, afal pikein adayin ein hadinim nimtokim bimekoimom. He didn't solve the problem downstairs on the ground. On the ground, those other soldiers are still there and they're still ready to come at him even stronger when he comes back down. כי אחר כך כשחוזרים מהביטול, חוזרים הדינים ומסגברים ביוסר. Because when a person comes back down from that beetle, those dinim come back stronger. Remember we gave the example of the painkiller that a person takes. And after the effects of the painkiller wears off, that pain comes back even stronger. אבל עיקר ההמתוקה הוא כשזוכן להמתק הדינים במקוימם ושורושם. The main המתוק is when the person is able to win the battle down below, when he's able to resolve to eliminate the midas hadin on earth, over here. Not run away from it, not take a trip to Bermuda, and he has his vacation, he has a great time and everything, he forgets his business, and then he comes back to earth, he returns back home, and the bills are higher, and everything is worse than, you know. דהיינו כשחוזרים מהביטול, when the person returns from that beetle, ושום יש כוח לדינים לסוירר, and now down below, this מידס הדין is able to come back at him stronger, ועזי מסוירים להסגבר ביוסר, and they do, they actually do try to come back stronger, מחמס שרויים שרויצם לבטל על ידי הביטול, because they see that this guy tried to escape them. He tried to do this beetle, which supposedly did away with them. He knocked them off his screen completely, temporarily. כדרך שני אנשים שנלחמים זה בזה, just like when you have two people who are fighting with each other, כשאחד רואה שהשני מסגבר, when one sees that the other one is getting stronger, הוא מסגבר ביוסר. He really turns on the adrenaline to make sure he doesn't get pushed out completely. וזאי, כשזוכן לבטל הדינים על ידי התוירה שממשיך מרשימנל, and when a person is זוכה to bring toira back with him when he did that beetle, and with that he suppresses the din, שזה בחינס מצווס שופר כנל, that's the blowing of the shofar that we mentioned, זה עיקר המתוקס הדינים. That's really winning against the din. בחינס המתוקס הדינים בשורושון ומקוימון. He's defeating the מידס הדין in its ballpark on earth. He didn't win by escaping to Bermuda. He went up there where there's no din, there's no... He came back down in the thick of the problems, but he brought down the Torah with him, and with that Torah he's able to be mamtik the din completely. כי בבחינס הביטול, שום הדינים בטלם לגמרי, ואין להם שום אחיזה כלל. Because in that place called ביטול, there the din doesn't exist. They can't enter into there at all whatsoever. רק עיקר אחיזוסם הוא בבחינס ושויב. But rather, the main time when they're able to reactivate, when they're able to get the person is when he's coming back down. בבחינס החזור מהביטול, when he returns from the beetle, ששום מסחיל אחיזוסם, that's where they're able to grab hold. וכשמבטלם איסם שום במקוימום, על ידי התוירה שממשיך מראשים הגנל, and when a Jew is זוכה to suppress them, and to eliminate them down below, with that toira that he brought back, זה עיקר בחינס המתוקס הדינים כנל. This is the real המתוקס הדינים. V'alkein ikar hamtokas hadinim b'Rosh Hashanah hu al yedei mitzvas shofar. Now you can understand why, even though we're doing all kinds of great things on Rosh Hashanah, we're davening and we're doing tash, all kinds of things, the Sifrei Kabbalah all emphasize that the most important hamtokas hadinim is the shofar. Shehu b'chinas koyach kabbalas ha-toyrah. The blowing of the shofar, as we said, is turning on the faucet of kabbalas ha-toyrah. It's reenacting Har Sinai, Maimad Har Sinai, Shenitna B'Kol Shofar, where we know the Torah was given with the sound of the Shofar, Shemamshichim B'Rosh Hashanah Me'oir Hazrichu Shel Horashimu Shel Abitul, which the person is zoicha to draw from that remaining light, that little bit of light that clings to the side of the vessel, when he lost the full blast of light, but there's still a little that remains, if that's connected to Torah, then he brings that back down, and Shalidezeh Iker Shleimus Hamtokas Hadinim Bimakoimum. This is what helps him win a solid victory against the Midas Hadin in its place, at its Shoirish. We'll continue. Hopefully afterwards we'll address questions. But Rav Nosson Zal here is explaining Kabbalistic concepts, terminology, Hamtoka Sadinim, other things which on one hand it sounds like Braille. But the way he explains it, suddenly it's not Braille. He's showing you exactly how you can relate to this on a physical level. A person's physical suffering, the concept of escaping from your problems, and the concept of resolving your problems, that kind of thing. Paragraph Dalid, Vizeh Bechinas Mashanikra Rosh Hashanah Yoim HaZikoroin. Now we can understand why the title of Rosh Hashanah is called Yoim HaZikoron, the Day of Remembrance. Ki al yidei kol anal, dahinu al yidei abitul, vayidei atoyra shemamshicha mirushimu, shezeh b'china shofar, al yidei zeh mesaknen esatfila. Rav Nosson Zal says, we explained earlier that one of the most important byproducts of this bitul and returning from the bitul is that the person is zoche to shleimus hatfila. We spoke about this yesterday. And what was shleimus hatfila? Where a person is able to unite the beginning and the end of the tfila. That even when he's at the end of his tfila, after 60 minutes or 90 minutes, he hasn't forgotten the opening shot. He still remembers the Moda'ani and the Matovu, and he's bringing it all together. It's all one by him. Because when a person goes up to that place of Bitul, he's drawing oneness. That's a place of oneness. Lodas ki kulo yechod, to have the ability to understand that everything is one. There is no right side and left side. There is no good and bad. There is no day and night. It's all oneness. This enables a person to be able to make one out of his entire tefillah. So that even when he's at the end of his prayer, he's still able to remember and hold on to perfectly the beginning. He's got it all together. He didn't let anything escape him. He didn't forget the beginning. Shezeh b'chinas shchochum v'chazru v'yizdum k'mavur sham b'seif ha-toranal. This is the concept which Rabbi Nizal quotes in that chapter in the Kutimran, where the Gemara in several places discusses a topic, and then the Gemara says, what do you mean that these rabbis introduced this? They didn't introduce this. This was something that was around years before. The Gemara says, you're right. It was around years before. It was forgotten, and then later rabbis came and reintroduced it. So this is the terminology in the Gemara. Shchachum v'chazru v'yizdum. V'zeh b'chinas ha-nesira shenasis b'rosh Hashanah al yedei ha-shena v'hadurmito da'apil al zeranpim. Now Rav Nosson Zal is taking another step into the writings of the Arizal. The Arizal says that just like when Adam Rishon was born, we know that Adam Rishon was created on Rosh Hashanah, on Friday. The world was created Chaf Heyelul. Sunday was Chaf Heyelul. The sixth day of creation, which is when Adam Rishon was created, was Aleph Tishrei. The word Bereshis, Bor Elokim es Hashamayim v'Haaretz, in the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. The word Bereshis is the letters Be'Aleph Tishrei. On Aleph Tishrei, Hashem created what? He created man, who is Shamayim and Haaretz. Man is made of earth, Adama. And he's got a neshama that comes from Shemayim, that comes from the top floor, all the way on top. So now, when Hashem created Adam Rishon, if you recall, originally Adam and Chava were like Siamese twins. They were attached from the back. They were both facing each other back to back, and they were connected. And in that manner, they couldn't reproduce, they couldn't have children, they couldn't really be effective. So the Torah tells us that Hashem imposed a tardema on Adam Rishon. Hashem put Adam Rishon into a deep sleep. And during that sleep, Hashem made a cut between them. And that enabled them to come apart, to be able to turn around and face each other up and upon him, face to face. And that enabled the world to propagate and everything. So now, the Arizal says that on a spiritual level, this is reenacted every single year. Kaviyochel, Hashem imposes a sleep on Zeranpin, which is a certain level of Kiddusha in heaven. And during that sleep, Kaviyochel, Hashem makes the cut between the heavenly male and female, even though this is all spiritual terms, nothing physical, which are originally back-to-back, because the Arizal explains there that when the Kedusha feels itself being attacked on all sides by Midas Adin, one of the things that you learn in self-defense is that if you're being attacked by a few people, you got to try to eliminate the possibility of somebody attacking you from behind. So the first thing you do is you try to go up against the wall so that at least the maximum you're dealing with is 180 degrees. Nobody can get you from behind. You cut the battle in half, number one. Now, if there's two people against 10 or against 20, how does each one of them protect his back? By both of them standing back to back, now their backs are covered. Nobody can get to their back. Kaviyochel, the Arizal says that this is what takes place in heaven, Kaviyochel, between Hashem and the Shekhinah. That when the Midas Hadin is strong, Kaviyochel, Hashem and Kodesh Baruch Hu are back to back, so that the Tumah, the Klipos, shouldn't be able to draw from the back. They have an easier access to draw from there than they do from the front, Kaviyochel. But on Rosh Hashanah, one of the major events that takes place is that there's a Hamtoka Sadinim. There's a defeat for the Midas Sadin. And one part of that process is this Nesira, this slicing to separate the two and to allow them to turn around to come face to face. So again, Rav Nosson Zal's quoting the terminology from the Arizal, and he's going to explain it to us to see how this applies to our lives. So this is the concept of this nesira, this slicing that the Arizal says that takes place on Rosh Hashanah, al yedei hashena v'adormito da'apel al zeranpin, during the sleep, the deep sleep that Hashem imposes on zeranpin, v'al yedei hashofar, and through the blowing of the shofar, shehu hisoiris hashena, the shofar is the alarm clock, waking up from sleep, taking us out of the sleep, shaydeze menasrin uboinen es hamalchus. By doing this, we sever the Malchus, which was connected back to back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Malchus is represented by the female, Chava. Uboinenes HaMalchus, and we develop the Malchus, Shetia Ninseres, Mibchinas Ocher Bocher, that it should be cut off, it should be severed from the original state that it was in, which was back to back. We cut between them, we separated them. Now the Malchus has become an entity on its own. Now it can become developed. Chava became an entity on her own. Now she was able to develop as a woman, etc., and be able to mate with Adam Rishon to create children, etc., etc. That's the physical form, and the Arizal is discussing how it's taking place in spiritual terms. Kemavur bekavonus, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal. Now Rav Nosson says, "Hainu bechina hanal hamavur ba'toyranal al posuk v'yomer boyz and ruz." This ties in beautiful with what Rabbeinu Zal is explaining in chapter 65 in Likutei Moran, Shehadibur, where it says there, "Vayomer boyz and ruz, boyz said to ruz, haloi shamat bitim, you've heard my daughter." Rabbeinu Zal explains there, "Shehadibur enoi maniach es hanefesh shetelech mimenu," that when a Jew starts davening to Hashem, the minute he opens his mouth and he says the ba of Baruch, that ba is supposed to be leaving. It's supposed to be going out and then the reish should follow it. But the ba don't want to leave. It doesn't want to leave. It's attached to the nefesh. It's coming from the soul of the person. Nafshi yotza bedaproi, the pasuk says. My soul comes out when I'm speaking. So this ba, which is coming from the soul and it's being sent out, it doesn't want to detach. It doesn't want to let go, in a sense. V'ze nimshach, machmas shadayin lo nimshach oyer ha'achdus lamata b'shleimus. And the reason why it doesn't want to let go is because this infinite light of Hashem, this super bright light of Hashem, isn't down below. It's not on earth yet, you know, to protect this bo from all the klipos and everything like that. So the klipos are still active. Klipos means different forms of impurity and everything. And therefore, the ba is afraid that if it'll move on, if the nefesh, the person will go on to the next word, he'll say baruch and atona. He's going to forget the Baruch. The Baruch is going to get lost in space because it's going to become totally detached and forgotten. Because this item of forgetting is very powerful, and the forces of Tumah have the ability to make, to get a person to forget. A person starts davening to Hashem and he says, Adon Olam. And it's one of the most magnificent experiences he ever had. He's davening with kavana, he's enjoying it, he's having a great time. And then he moves on and says the brachas and hodu. And 15 minutes later, he says, you know, I thought I had a great time when I was saying Adon Olam, but somehow I forgot. It's gone. Vazai hamidoi suel yoinim heimadayin bebchinas ochar bochar kemavur bekavonas. And as long as the klipois are active, as long as these forces of tumah are strong in the world, the kedusha is keeping that stance of back to back. It's not willing to reveal its back to make it vulnerable, that the klipois should be able to jump on its back, chas v'shalom, and attack and draw energy from there. The Arizal explains that so long as the klipois are still active, the kedusha must be in this form of ochar bochar, back to back. And because of the fact that Hashem and the Shechina are united, they're attached by one wall, back to back, azai hadibur hanimshach misham. The words that come out don't want to let go of the nefesh. They're holding on, they're clinging on for dear life. They don't want to separate. Just like these two people who are standing back to back and they don't want to separate whatsoever because they know if there's any space between them, the klipois can jump in there. The reason why that's going on down below here on earth is because upstairs in heaven, there's this similar situation going on, a parallel situation. Where Hashem and the Shechina are back to back and attached over there, defending themselves in a sense, out of fear of the klipois being able to attack. Shehem b'chinas shikha. The klipois are the concept of shikha. Again, even though Hashem created these klipois, Hashem created this, but Hashem created everything in a form that there should be bechira. That this side has power and this side has power. And sometimes this side is winning and sometimes this side is winning. And when this side is strong, when the left side is strong, the Gemara warns, don't you dare engage them in battle. The Gemara says, don't, because you could lose. The Gemara says, even if you're a tzaddik, you could lose. When it's their time, when they're experiencing their high, you better stay out of their way. The Jews in Mitzrayim were told, stay indoors. Put that sign on your door. Don't, anybody walks out, his life is in his own hand. What do you mean? What kind of nonsense? We're the Jews. We're the heroes. Hashem's on our side. Hashem's on our side, but they hadn't yet defeated Egypt completely. The klipois were still active. When the klipois are active, you have to know how to address it. So that kavyachol in heaven, at a time that Hashem is allowing the klipois to run free and do their thing, kavyachol Hashem maintains this position of ocher b'ocher with the Shechina. They're back to back in a defense stance to defend themselves, to protect, that the klipois shouldn't be able to draw too much from the back. Because that's just like Lahavdil on earth. Most guys who attack you from behind. That's the most logical place to attack because that's where you're most vulnerable. You have the least chance of defending yourself. Lahavdil in Kedusha, there's a similar concept that the klipois, which draw from the Kedusha, they usually can't draw from the front, from the face, as much as they can draw from the back. That's the main place where the klipois draw their strength from. So therefore, when the klipois are experiencing strength, kavyochol Hashem makes sure to keep the back covered, to keep the back protected, so that they shouldn't be able to draw too much. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains further. Ki shoyrish hadibur mehadas. Because where does a person's words originate when a person speaks? The words originate from the mind. Kemoy shekosuv, as the pasuk says, mipiv das usvuna. From a person's mouth, we hear his intellect, his what's coming from his brain. Ach yitziyosoy lo'olam hualidei hanefesh. However, the words come out into the world, not via the brain, they come out via the nefesh, via the soul inside, via the dibur, the koyach hadibur, which is the mouth. Ki hanefesh moitzio umoyledes kol hadiburim shenimshochem b'sharosha me'adas. Because the nefesh, which is synonymous with malchus, peh, the mouth, that's what gives forth the words, even though they originated in the brain. They start from on top, they travel down, down, down to the malchus, to the mouth, and that's where they come out from the person. And so long as that great bright light from above hasn't reached down below on earth in its full form, by a Jew experiencing a pure bitul, azay hadas v'hanefesh, sheim b'chinas tiferes u'malchus, achuzen u'dvukim b'yachad. What happens is, as a defense mechanism, the nefesh doesn't want to let go of the das. The words don't want to be released. They don't want to let go. The nefesh clings to the das in this form of ochar b'ochar. And in Kabbalistic terms, that's tiferes and malchus, zeranpin and malchus, which are locked together like this, back to back, and they don't want to separate. Vazai ein maniach hadibur senefesh etech lahalam. And what happens is, the dibur doesn't let the nefesh go further and say the next word. Bebechinas vayomer boyez el ruz, as Rabbein Nisal explains over there in Likut Imran. Vialkein tzrichin nesira. Therefore, there is a slicing that has to take place. There is a severing that has to take place. Vezeh nase b'Rosh Hashanah. That takes place on Rosh Hashanah. Al yedei habitul anal. Through the bitul that's achieved. Through that sleep that's imposed. Val yedei ha-Torah shemamshicha mehirashimu. And through the Torah that's brought down from that Rishimu. Shezeh b'chinas shofar, which is the concept of the blowing of the shofar that's taking place on Rosh Hashanah. Shayidei zeh mamshichin oyer ho'achtus leida shekulo yechot. That's what gives us the ability to draw into this world a light that's coming from that high, high place, that place of oneness, that the person, even in this world, should be able to realize that there is no good and bad. It's all good. Everything Hashem does is for the good. And that gives the person the ability to make one out of his entire tefillah. Even when he's all the way at the end of his tefillah, the last word of the tefillah, he still remembers perfectly well his first words of tefillah. Because the power of forgetfulness has no strength whatsoever, has no power over him. When that light is there in prominence, then the das lets the nefesh continue and say another word. Then it's not afraid anymore that by moving on to the next word, you're going to forget the previous word. And they're not attached anymore like that in this protective stance back to back. Mechshash hashikha, out of fear of forgetfulness. Shehem haklipois, which is one form of these klipois. Vezeh bechinas hanesiranal. This is the terminology that the Arizal uses, that one of the events that takes place in heaven on Rosh Hashanah is that there is this nesira. There is this severing of the connection between Hashem and the Shekhinah, between Tiferes and Malchus. They're cut and they're released from that bond, that bondage they were in, like in a sense of being locked together back to back. V'alkein nikra Rosh Hashanah Yoim HaZikaron. This is one of the reasons why one of the names of Rosh Hashanah is Yoim HaZikaron. Ki oz mamshichen zikaron. Because one of the things that a Jew achieves on Rosh Hashanah is solid remembering, the ability to remember from beginning to end. That's what allows the person to make one out of the entire tefillah. That even when he's at the end of a paragraph of tefillah, at the end of the entire tefillah, he still remembers and is holding on strongly to the beginning of the tefillah. Kedei shenuchal ladaber kol hadiburim shel tefillah. So that a person should have the ability to daven the entire tefillah, v'loimar achakach oid kamatchinas abakoshos, and be able to say Tehillim afterwards and all kinds of stuff, and it's all one. It's not pieces, individual pieces, and he hasn't lost of any of it. It's all in his basket. He's got it all in front of him. V'zeh onu tzrichin b'Rosh Hashanah v'aseres yimei tshuva. And this a person needs most on the holiday of Rosh Hashanah and on the 10 days of Tshuva. She'oz tzrichin laharbois betfilois utchinois ubakoshois. Because the Shulchan Aruch tells us that even those people who throughout the year don't say Tehillim and they don't say extra prayers, during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, it's a special time to really add additional prayers. There's a custom to say 10 chapters of Tehillim every single day in Shul. This is written in Shulchan Aruch during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So if during these days we're going to be saying additional tefillos, we got to make sure that that tefillah is protected, that we got it all locked in together. We have it all packaged properly as one. Therefore, we perfect the tefillah by perfecting our ability to remember, which we were able to draw on ourselves by reaching up to that high-level beetle, and through that little bit of light that's retained, even when I come back down from the beetle, we said that's what gives the person the ability to receive and retain some Torah when he comes back down. That's the symbolism in the shofar being blown on Rosh Hashanah. That's what gives us the ability to make one of the entire tefillah. This is one of the most important processes in davening Tashem, for the person to be able to bring it all together, to make one out of his entire tefillah. And Rosh Hashanah is the day when we're most involved in being able to perfect and complete our tefillah. You'll note, for example, that on Rosh Hashanah, we have the longest tefillah. Even though Yom Kippur went shul all day, the musaf of Rosh Hashanah is like double the size of the musaf of Yom Kippur. You have Malchiyah, Zichroinois, and Shofarois. The musaf of Rosh Hashanah is like 15 pages. So again, because this day is the longest tefillah, it's the day on which it would normally be the hardest to make one out of the tefillah. And that's what we're involved in doing on Rosh Hashanah, through this whole process of going up, up, up to that place of oneness and then coming back down and bringing down some Torah with us. That's what allows us, when we come back down, to be able to unify our tefillah, to make one out of our, to be able to ward off shikha, klipos, the tumah is knocked out, the midas adin is knocked out completely. One example of midas adin, one manifestation of midas adin is forgetting, forgetfulness. The forgetfulness is wiped out completely on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaZikaron, the day of remembering. Remember, I'm able to remember the beginning even when I'm at the end.